Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Talking about Hallmark movies, I saw a Hallmark movie this week. I mean, that's my little Christmas extracurricular activity. So I watched this Hallmark movie called Christmas Strike. Did anyone else see that? Christmas Strike. Yeah, there. See, you get a cookie from me tomorrow. But that was to confirm that there was a, so it was cute. It was, I don't know why, it was late, it was a repeat. So it's a mommy who is baking and just doing all kinds of things for Christmas, shopping for the Christmas tree, doing the decorating, making Christmas. And then her teenage sons and her husband are letting her do everything. They don't really appreciate all the hard work that goes into preparing for Christmas. And they are there for celebration and enjoying the tree, but they're not there to help her. So she kind of got a little upset that there was no appreciation. So, and there was a gap in her heart. She felt there was not even a thank you from them. So she said, I'm going to stop all my activities and I'm going to declare a strike. So she walked outside with a sign calling on strike, Christmas strike. So she was striking for her ungrateful teenage, they were grown, almost ready to go to college kind of sons, and her husband. So I'm on strike. You, if you're going to do any cooking, you're going to do it. And it was quite funny to see them try to function in a kitchen they have not entered in and make cookies, and they're just blasted with all the flour on their faces and everything. Eventually, she starts a movement in that little town that the mommies go on strike. And the main thing, that, and then the later kind of, there is a meeting of minds. Because they want appreciation, a little thank you. And those guys realize that are convicted, especially when they have to do all this stuff, that they were wrong. But then it kind of gets out of hand, and they realize they are losing the Christmas spirit. And they're all reconciled, and it's all happy ending. It's wonderful. But it reminded me of how certain things, it's a more funny story, but there are things that we need to make sure that we really appreciate certain things and express them and express thanks. And that there are really gaps in our hearts, and then eventually there is a hole in our heart. And I was hearing on the one of the things that really touched my heart was there were some organizations that really help children from broken homes and broken families. And I was hearing the testimony of a teenage young girl from one of the inner cities, and they just recorded her and played her, and she said she was really addressing her father, who has been absent. I mean, he's alive somewhere, but he has never cared to see her, see his daughter. And there was a recording of her, and she was could hear the broken heart of this young girl. He says, Daddy, when I was graduating from kindergarten, I looked for your face, and you were not there. When I graduated from grade school, I looked for your face and you were not there. When I was involved in Christmas plays in my high school, I looked for you and you were not there. When I graduated from high school, the one face I wanted to see was your face. And to hear you say, "Well done, daughter," but you were not there. And you could hear that she had a big hole in her heart. And there are certain times that things happen and leave holes in our heart. I believe that being in a church community like this, it helps alleviate, fill these holes. I remember when I first was baptized in the Holy Spirit, one of the transformations that literally was like night and day was I became a hugger. I just absolutely hugged people. And I found it's a universal language. Whether Bonnie and I preached in Egypt, which we have in Cairo, or Israel, when I preached in Norway and Finland, or in Brazil, or Jamaica, that the hug was a universal language, that we are sharing the love of Jesus Christ with each other. But there are, in our society as we look, there are holes that in hearts of people, and there are artificial ways that they try to fill that deep hole in the heart. Whether it is drugs or perverted behavior, whatever, they're trying to alleviate in some way or the other the pain of that hole in the heart. But it's artificial. And it really won't fill that gap. And now I was wanting to just share a little bit on that tonight and just say this. At this season, I'm recognizing Christmas is one of the, basically, it points us in the direction of how that hole that many people have been carrying can be filled with the genuine answer. That there is an answer for our holes that we have. And basically, it is, I want to say that only the Lord God Almighty and a personal experience with Him can fill these holes. Something which is what we find in the Lord and in His presence is the real answer for filling the hole in your heart. And how is this filled? And I want to say that I believe. And you find that in our society. You see that on TV. You see that on the news how people have do the weirdest things because they are depressed, they are frustrated, they are unhappy, and they are driven, therefore, by these deep holes. And basically, the answer is in the Lord, and the pathway is being able to worship the Lord, and that there is a supernatural ability of the worship of the living God is the mighty way in which God supernaturally fills the holes in our hearts. So if people are fearful, depressed, frustrated, I want to say, let's check your worship. And worship, that's why this, one of the blessings of the watch is we have somewhat of, we are limited. We do take our time, thank God, but there are certain church situations that basically they designate, all right, we're going to have 20 minutes of worship, 5 minutes of announcements, 15 minutes of sharing the word, and that by that time, much of the time is gone, and then they're ready to dismiss. That's it. And that will not fill the gap that people, I believe corporate worship and individual worship, the more we nurture that, the more those feelings of frustration and happiness, it's a supernatural answer. And I want to say always for us as a community and as just the family of God that we need to check as individuals, check your worship and see if we have worship problems. If I find that that's a recommendation, it's a prescription. By the way, I have 2 doctorates. So I'm Dr. Chavda, and I'm giving you a prescription. If you want me to, I'll write it down. Check your worship, just like we say, check your blood pressure. Check your worship. And when people are losing their joy, it's quite a bit of it has to do with their personal worship and our corporate worship. That's why I love the so many scenes we see around. We have little manger scenes in people's homes, or we have it in a shopping center. There is a manger thing. There are some demonic-ish people who get seized by the demons come to the surface when they see a manger in a shopping center. But that's all right. I say, good. Let the demons manifest, and then we can cast them out. But basically, find Adam and Eve were basically, as they were created, they were in worship. They were in the presence of the Lord continuously. But the devil hated them and put out a demonic bait that allowed them to enter a zone that took them away from worship. And then fear came in the world, worry, violence. And then sin really came in, and of that death and violence and hatred, all of that prejudice, bigotry, anti-Semitism, all those demonic things started coming. But God at Christmas shows us God provided a remedy for these empty holes, and it's Christ the King. Now I want to read from Scripture and Revelation 4. You can put it up there. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. I looked. Say, I looked. And behold. Tell your neighbor, behold. Tell yourself, behold. So that, it's one of the most anointed words in the Bible for me, because it means whatever you are doing, leave that right now and don't look like this. Beholding for me is always you raise your head and you look up. And as you behold, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the whole world. So there is a way in which you're taking your perspective away from the natural things and you're doing, beholding something that God says, look at this, and your definitions will change. So I looked, say look, behold. So I have to look and then raise up your eyes a little bit, behold. And there I see what? A door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard. So he's there, he's looking, and then it's not only visual, but it's audible. Is in the presence of the glory of heaven. And it is not just visual, but you need ears also to hear it says, it's in the spirit. I heard a voice like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here. So it's like a shofar. I blew the beginning. Come up here. And in a sense, often our shofar blowing, I love blowing the shofar. And I learned, the Lord taught me how to blow it supernaturally when many years ago, at the Feast of Tabernacles some years ago in Jerusalem, I said, Lord, I wish I could blow the shofar. He said, I'll teach you. I remember I was on the Hilton, 18th floor of the Hilton Hotel in a terrace. You could open the door and look out. And I'd gotten a shofar and started blowing all over. And the Lord taught me how to do it. But that's a trumpet, a voice. The voice of the Lord often, I believe, with a shout and a trumpet, the Lord's going to be coming. And there is a voice out of it saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. And immediately I was in the spirit. Say, I was in the spirit. So I'm not in the flesh, I'm in the spirit. And behold, again, behold. Say, behold. So there's a lot of beholding that we need to behold. And that's a choice that we're making. You may ignore, or you may choose to behold. And there are awesome things God wants to show you. I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven. So I'm seeing now. As I'm beholding, I'm sitting, seeing a throne set in heaven. So that it changes your definitions. Once you behold and you open, there is a throne in heaven. And one, say one. It's a special, the one, the one. It's Emmanuel, the Lord with us, the Lord, King of glory. One sat on the throne, and he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance, so shining with light. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones. So there's a throne, and then there were 24 smaller thrones. And on the thrones, I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes. And they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. How about that? You are hearing as well as seeing. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and in back. And these, we have the English language does not have some of the ways to translate. This is not like weird creatures. These are heavenly beings that, I mean, if you were in your presence, you would lose consciousness or something. They are so awesome, so majestic, so full of glory. And that's giving glory and honor and thanks to Him, capital H, who sits on the throne. So that's the Lord who lives forever and ever. The 24 elders fall down before Him, who sits on the throne and worship Him, who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne. And what I want to say is, what I mentioned, if you feel the symptoms of this hole in your heart, whether it's a place of feeling depressed or lonely or rejected or fearful, this would be one of the great scriptures to look at and really get into the middle of the glory of this word. So the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him, who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they exist. and were created. So, this is for us a peak. The Lord allows you. And John the Revelator, God bless him, I'm glad he related this. This is part of Holy Scripture. But this is, we are peeking into the glory activity that is happening right now in a region beyond, in a place of eternal infinity. It almost becomes, I used to love mathematics, loved equations. And this is an infinity equation. And you step into it. You're basically you are looking into infinity. And it's out of time, out of space, but it is eternal. But it's a picture of the now glory of the Lord. Now, Lord. You're peeking into Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what I want you to notice is the Lord who's sitting on the throne. But everybody, the heavenly, awesome heavenly beings, Bible called creatures, but it's heavenly beings, angelic beings, they'll blow your mind in their glory. And the 24 elders, everybody, they are not observers, they are participants. And as we sing and we see the baby in a manger, and a lot of the scenes you see, there will always be some golden light all around it. It's a picture. And the angelic beings out there, angels saying glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill among men. This is an eternal glory moment in a sense for me. But everybody, the Lord is receiving. Everybody else is actively participating. They are not just observers. They are participants. And in that then, that's how God wants us. I believe there is a fresh impetus as we enter, we celebrate Christmas and then prepare ourselves to go into the new year. And I'm really excited about the new year because there is a kind of equation glory that God is releasing that is going to expand and increase, bring us into a broad place of increase in the spirit and even in the natural and in the financial. I believe the Lord wants to open realms of grace to us as we are in faith to step into 2019 with a fresh impetus from the glory. As we stay in worship, we're going to be pushed into the next level of glory, of provision, of healing, of revival. And and it's an example for us that just like we go to football games, when the Panthers first came here, it was really exciting, and we were some very gracious people gave us free tickets, Bonnie and I. So we would, when we finished the church service, we had arranged so we would be able to, we drive to the Panther Stadium. And it was the birthing, it was the birthing of the new team. And we really enjoyed Bonnie is even more of a louder cheerleader than I am. And she would be, you'd think I would be, she was screaming out loud. But the thing, as you go, and if you're going there, or how many of you saw your child when they were little and saw them participate in a Christmas program? Did you? And who were some of the main cheerleaders when this finished? Right? Didn't you shout? Yay! And that may have, it didn't matter. How you cheered for them. And that's the kind of connection that God is calling us as we to get fully. It's for us, not for the Lord. And yet, you know, you can say it is, we are worshiping the Lord, but the benefit comes to you. And that hole, the different holes in our heart. And if we don't watch it, those things can creep some more. We have to, therefore, we need to stay sharp. That's why part of my heart often mulls the fact, why, if people understood how fulfilled, more fulfilled they would be by actively being participants in worship and praise, that we start with them. I mean, I love the traditional way we look at Christmas, that we see the manger scene and we see the wise men coming and worship, the angels adoring and worship. This is the time we adore, but that adoration should be go into doing it actively, individually and corporately, even more at a higher level. And I would ask me, I ask myself, did God get anything out of my worship? Because it's not so much for me, though I will benefit, of course, but it is all this Revelations 4 is all of these are participating to give honor and blessing and adoration to the King of Glory who was born in Bethlehem. So you find them as you look at a scene. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the throne I saw 24 elders. By the way, the different people have different perspectives of 24 elders, but you could say 12 of these are the 12 patriarchs in the Old Testament, and 12 of them are the 12 apostles. You could theorize that. Basically, it represents the whole of mankind, all the a type of the believing community, and they're bowing, clothed in white, that crowns of gold, and from the throne proceeded lightnings. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor, thanks to him, it says, the 24 elders fall down. Say, fall down. Before him who sits on the throne. So they fall down. So in a sense, wherever they are, they are now prostrate before the Lord, on their faces, saying, we worship you, Lord. So they are bowing. And this, basically, one of the definitions of getting completely blessed and filled as we worship him, that God wants us to go deeper so we can receive fresh supernatural joy and increase so we can give out supernaturally out there. We will receive something very special from his presence that will anoint, give you the infinity level of effectiveness for your prayers, for healing, revival, being able to share the gospel. You will find, I can go into, like I'm on airports so much, or have to on the road, we go to restaurants. All the spirit, I can look at people and I know that if I'm connected, I can have prophetic words for so many of them. I can just look at the spirit falls, and there are times where I can get their names even. It's wonderful how much God loves each and every person. It doesn't matter what level. Airports, you just see people at every level and at every age. And yet God loves each and every one of them. and that we are instruments. But the more I believe we get into worship and adoration and connect with the glory, the more effective God wants to make you and I, where it's we're going to be totally delivered more and more out of fear or exhaustion or discouragement or depression. And we find it's about the Lord. The more we get into that worship, part of it, therefore, is being completely humble. The 24 elders, apostles and patriarchs, who are a type of all the believers, they are on their faces. And that's, it's a thing, of course, it's a total picture of humility. And it was not until the Christians came on the scene after the first century that we had a new definition of humility. It is Christians who embody godly humility. In the past, and then throughout the centuries, as far as humility was concerned, it was conquerors would come and defeat, take over a city or whole country, and they had to, the people had to give in and bow before the conqueror or they would lose their heads. So that's, okay, you must bow down. Okay, I don't want my head to cut off or my family to be hurt. So they would bow down, but it was being conquered. That's when Christians came onto the scene, they changed this whole terminology by saying, our Savior, Jesus, humbled himself. And he is the picture of humility. So we look at let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians chapter 2, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Being in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Say, humbled himself. And became obedient unto death. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Say, every knee. So, but the utter picture of humility is Jesus, because he humbled himself from being a prince of heaven, the mighty prince of peace, to being in the form of servant, even the most humiliating death on a cross. Therefore, God has exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. So, in that pattern, then, we do not think anything of being prideful. Our Lord has humbled himself, and we are humble. And I remember the Lord, my school of the Spirit quite a bit was when I was first baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Lord sent me to really serve a whole school of profoundly mentally handicapped children. And they didn't have any control over their bathroom functions, all of that. And I had to clean them, help them, and train them in certain programs. And the Lord said, love on those. And it was such a great lesson for me to love on these precious kids. Their parents had given them up to the state. It was the state who took care of them. But God says, you take care of them. And in that context, then, I found the power of the name of Jesus Christ. But it was a humble thing to have little kids, and you go in, and one of the first things you'd have to do is help them. And if they needed to be in their toilet functions, be cleaned up, I was there to do that. And it's in that I learned how to hear from the Holy Spirit. So it's wherever we have an opportunity to serve and be humble. And then God is able to promote us. But pride is something that we lose. We want to take that away from our life. The more the ability we have to humble ourselves, the more God can give you the increase in the anointing that he wants to give to the body and bring us into revival. So, yeah, I was reading about an incident years ago. In fact, 1986, there was an incident at the Black Sea during wintertime in Russia. Two ships were heading towards each other. And even though they could see each other, they crashed into each other. Hundreds of people died. They fell into the freezing cold waters of the Black Sea, and they died. They found there was nothing wrong with the ships, nothing wrong with the rudder. It was because the one captain here, the other captain there, both were so prideful that I said, "You move out of the way. I'm coming." "No, no, you move out of the way. I'm coming." Neither one of them would kind of make space for the other one. And it was their pride that made all hundreds of people die. So pride is such a, ungodly pride is a horrible, oppressive thing. That's why, God, as we see the heavenly throne, we see a picture of wonderful humility from the heavenly beings, the 24 elders bowing down, and they throw down their crowns. By the way, the two meanings of the word crown, it says, they had crowns of gold on their heads, and from the throne proceeded lightning, thunder, and voice. Before the throne there was a sea of glass, and then the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You're worthy, O Lord." So this is part of worship, is humility. And they throw the crowns. The word in Greek, there are two words. One is diadem. And I'll refer, there's a song. Remember the song, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all." That's the diadem, is a crown that a king wears. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. By the way, this song, how many are familiar with it? "All hail the power. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all." Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. By the way, this was written by a man named Edward Perronet, who was son of an Anglican clergyman, but he had a tremendous revival experience with the Wesley brothers. So they were great friends. At the end of their life, they had somewhat of a spiritual disagreement because the Wesleys still believed that you had to be an ordained Anglican clergy to minister communion, whereas Edward Perronet believed all believers could, minister communion, they were called. Anyway, but another nice story about this, let's talk about the, crown him with many crowns. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. He was so anointed. A few decades later, there was a missionary named Ed Scott who went to be a missionary to India, and he was going from one township to another, and a big band of thugs came towards him to attack him and rob him and the train he was with. And he got his violin out and started playing as they were about to attack. He started playing and started singing, "All hail the power of Jesus' name." And the power of God fell. And the thugs started repenting and bowing, especially at when he says that every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, somehow they recognized the glory of God and got totally convicted. It's a great story about this hymn. But crown him and bring forth the royal diadem. Crown him Lord of all. That's crown a king wears. But the other translation is called, in Greek, is Stephan, which means a crown that they would put on the Olympic winners. That's a wreath. And it's when the elders bow down and give the crowns to the Lord, throw them at his feet. These are the victory crowns. They are like Olympic winners, those who have overcome. So all of you, as we go to heaven, you will get a crown of glory. It's like the Olympic wreaths. And it is for all overcomers. So these 24 elders are basically representative of the crowns that you are all going, because you have overcome. You have kept the faith till the last of your days, and God gives you crowns. But as we worship then, whatever achievements we have achieved are nothing compared to the victor of all victors, Jesus Christ. He has fought the greatest battle ever in history against every demon of hell as he died for you and I on the cross. So he deserves, you deserve the glory. You know, we sing that. And it's so totally important that we receive a revelation of that. By the way, the crown, I don't know how many of you saw, used to be a custom at Christmas time and at Easter, they would show Ben-Hur, the movie. How many of you have seen Ben-Hur, Charlton Heston? And at the end of the race, when Ben-Hur wins, the governor gives him this wreath, this gold wreath, that because he has won that great race. That's kind of, these are the wreaths that you laying before the Lord, saying, you receive, Lord, it belongs all to you. There was an incident I read about some time back, that there was a day where the 100th anniversary of a great musician in England named Robert Meyer, and there was a big reception to honor him, and there was a elderly lady named Lady Diane who was losing her vision, and she was talking with another lady, and she was very familiar with it and all of that. Suddenly, her eyes cleared up a little bit, and she realized she had been talking to Queen Elizabeth, and she said, oh, I'm so sorry, ma'am. I'm sorry, ma'am. I didn't know who you were because I didn't recognize you without your crown. And Queen Elizabeth supposedly said to her, Lady Diane, that's okay. This was a day to honor this great musician. I left my crown at home because it was all about honoring this man, not me. So she left her crown. But anyway, we present our crowns. Whatever achievements, whatever things we have, it's nothing compared to the King of Glory. He deserves. He is worthy of it all. So, in his presence, we are nothing. He is the chief overcomer. And so, these are some of the hymn, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. And the other one, at this season, O come all you faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. So, I would like for us to go to the next level. I believe for this coming year, I believe there is grace and increase in the efficacy of our worship. That the Lord is calling us. Whatever crowns we have, whatever achievement, we laid them at the feet of Jesus. Lord, you are worthy to receive all the glory, all the praise. So we come to adore you. And then the other one was the all hail the power of Jesus' name. So let's, Michael, are we ready? Come, some of you come stand. And if you don't mind, come up here and come close up here. And we're going to worship the Lord. We'll start with "Oh, come all you faithful." So, come closer. I took a shower. Thank you. So, we're going to adore whatever achievements, whatever we have. And I just really felt like there was a supernatural presence that God wanted to give to us in this season. And as we enter into 2019, I was seeing more of the Word, and you will, how many of you are in the process of getting a mailing from me? Did you get one? How many have gotten one yet? Yeah. It just came out, right? You will get it in the mail. Did you get it? Yeah, good. And I'll wait for you to get it before I tell you. No, I've signed it for you guys personally, and it's with one of the most gorgeous women in the United States sitting by my side, and me, who is quite handsome also. But anyway, no, my picture of Bonnie and I with a greeting. But the Word is supernatural. From the glory the Lord gave is increase in anointing, increase in blessing, increase in the depth of the authority you have before Jesus to bless people, and increase for your children in their productivity, in promotion, in their employment, increase. And increase for you, for your finances, so you can give more. And that's what my mentor, Derek Prince, loved the word abundance. And he said basically that Christ died and became poor on the cross, so you, through his poverty, might be rich. And we do. God wants to increase you financially. And he explained that so we can give more. Abundance is not that you own, 100 Cadillacs or 100 Rolls Royces or Mercedes-Benz. How many can you drive at one time? One. So, but the increase is so we can give. So that's, we want to give more to the kingdom. I want to see every family. We pray the increase will be such that every one of you will be debt-free. That and your children will be debt-free. That they won't be struggling finding finances to buy a house when they get married. But they would have such increase that they would be able to be givers also. And I taught my children to be givers. We celebrate giving. And may God increase. And part of my prayer, and you should be your prayer, Lord, give me such increase that my giving will increase a tenfold. And we can release the gospel. We need to translate and go show our television shows. We have 250 totally produced television shows. We need to buy time in India, other places, to proclaim. Our shows were shown in Iran in the Farsi language. We want to do all across, in, translate into many different languages. Just not only our, and then we give. We want to give more. We are feeding hungry people in Jerusalem. We want to do more in other key cities in the world to feed the homeless and the poor. So the more God makes you millionaires, the more you have to give. Make your children multimillionaires so that we can give more. So say, I can give more. So there is increase in supernatural for us, I see. And part of the key will be worship, that we come and adore Him. So we're going to sing, Oh Come All Ye Faithful, right? Michael?
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.